less than 15 minutes, I'm giving you a crash introduction into LAMMPS 2.3 and the new cool features and all that. Okay, so just the main important things that, and most of the stuff that I'm going to show you now is basically things that James already covered this morning when he was saying, he was talking about the new stuff that we've been doing. Essentially, the new things that you can, the improvements that we have in LAMMPS. I think that one of the most important is the robustness and the speed that now we have managed to achieve. And this has to do with the way that we have actually, after a few versions of LAMMPS as we have released, and we have realized what are the bits that are actually creating bottlenecks within LAMMPS. Therefore, we managed to overcome most of them. And we managed to get LAMMPS actually working, not necessarily as a browser, but basically on this small little one laptop or child type of devices. Now we can run LAMMPS, the server, on these devices. Yeah. And the idea of this is that, as you know, there's a one laptop per child project, and there's also the competition, which is the Intel guys. Yeah. And these are the Intel sort of laptops that these guys are using. And what they wanted to do is they wanted to run LAMMPS in each of these, not LAMMPS as the connecting to a LAMMPS server, but running a LAMMPS server out of these machines. So we had to actually create LAMMPS to make it extremely efficient to make it work. And one of the things that we managed to do after testing and testing and testing is that we managed to get 60 users using a LAMMPS server that is running on this little thing, working with a very, very, very good performance. And we're talking about a computer that is for 1 gig of RAM, 212 of RAM, and I think it's 4 gig of disk. So now LAMMPS actually almost is going to run in like a mobile phone soon or something like that. But not that there's a good idea to do it, but the idea is that they could actually do it. And what they want to do in places where they might not actually necessarily have a good infrastructure in terms of networks and so stuff like that, they could actually use it on these machines. And the next sort of project is they want to have these little laptops actually talking, the LAMMPS instances talking to each other. So you can actually go get LAMMPS sequences from each other. Yeah. All right. So that's one big aspect. The other one is basically when you get to LAMMPS authoring, there's another critical thing that we have actually done here is the idea of having support activities. So for a very, very long time, we had this this idea of sequences where LAMMPS actually does a sequential connection of activities. But one of the things that they wanted to do is they wanted to use activities that are not necessarily part of the sequence, but they are there to support the sequence. Yeah. So in a way, what you can think of is something like a glossary. Yeah. That it has to be there, but it's not necessarily part of the sequence. Or a forum where you can actually ask questions about sort of how things are going through the sequence. So effectively, in that case, the way that these activities do work is you have, just as we have like sequence activities and optional sequences, now we have this support activities. And on this one, you basically can put any LAMMPS activity that you like. Yeah. So you can put up to, I think it's 6 activities as part of support activities. And the way that this works is you just put your LAMMPS activities here. Oh, there's another sort of feature that rearranges your thing. And on this one, and the way that this would actually look like is once you sort of play it, the way the learners would actually see it is that they would actually see, as they normally see, the sequence, but they also see the support activities in the bottom. And the idea of this one is that you can actually be doing an activity here, but at the same time you can sort of go and do another activity in parallel to what you do. Yeah. So these are, again, activities that probably the name support activities doesn't do justice of what they are, but they're basically assistant activities of the sequence, not necessarily, and as you can tell, they're not part of the sequence as such, but they are sort of assisting the rest of it. And you can put up to 6 activities on here, as I said before.
Do you think it's time to get rid of the notebook?
Not so sure. I mean, notebooks, some people actually do use them, and if you take them out of them, they will actually come and get you and kill you.
Notebook already in
but the thing is that this is non-contextual. Like, you know, the notebook.
Try that.
Yeah. The thing that is confusing about this notebook thing is that once you see there's the one that is called great journal and the other one is called notebook and one is to share with the teacher and the other one is that is a bit confusing for people. So I would actually get rid of that confusion probably. Yeah. Or make it more explicit. But in terms of the notebook, I think it's, you know, at times some people actually put sort of notes that that they might want to add into that. So that is the support activities is something that it's also new to 2.3. Then there's another set of activities.
The issue with browser is a real issue, I think, because Mozilla is sometimes so much better than Internet Explorer. And mm-hmm. What are your views on why that might be? Because there seems to be a war between, I don't know, Mozilla Firefox and Internet Explorer.
Well, we have to support all of them.
But Internet Explorer doesn't seem to work for a lot of the tools very well. I mean, sound files don't seem to work very well on Internet Explorer.
Internet Explorer 6, we sort of almost dropped the ball on that because it's impossible to get it to work properly. Yeah. But Internet Explorer 6 is fading out very rapidly now, and now Microsoft sort of forces you to actually upgrade to the latest one because it has so many flaws and security things and all that. So we're trying to move to get people to use other browsers. Yeah, like for instance, now we support the one for the Macs, Safari,
right.
Safari and Chrome as well.
But
which
they don't work very well either, I've noticed. We tried, I think Chrome.
On the version 2.3, for sure they work really well. Mm-hmm. On the version 2.2, I'm sure that there could be some issues. I can't remember, but on the 2.3, we actually did some intense testing on Chrome and Safari as well. And Internet Explorer 8 came out in the middle as well, and we had to sort of do that as well. In terms of new tools, the new tools that we had to actually do is an assessment tool. And this is like a formal sort of QTI type of assessment. So it allows you to create a bunch of questions or a different type of questions that you might actually want to use for doing sort of formal assessment. So you have multiple choice, matching pair, short answers, true and false, numerical values, essays, and ordering, and all that sort of thing.
I had another question about this. Sorry, I wanted to get a question.
Yep.
The preview of this tool was quite interesting because you can submit final and submit two submission options for that tool. Why do you have if you choose one of them, it means you can repeat the questions. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And if you just choose the other one, you submit. And you don't get a chance to redo the questions.
Yes.
But if in the advanced tab you put one go only, why have the two tools?
Yeah, that's probably something that we should actually fix.
Because shouldn't you eliminate?
Yeah,
the one
that actually says that.
That's really confusing because for our multiple choice test or whatever, we just want one submission, but you give the students two options.
Cool catch. Yeah, that's a good one. So on this particular one, I mean, one of the things that allows you to do is to basically create sort of complicated question types. And the way that this is structured is that we would be able to create questions and more question types on the fly. So in the next version, we can add more. So it's a modular tool that allows you to add more question types as you go along. Another thing that it allows you to do is has this penalty factor thing. So on a retry, you're allowed to take points based on how many retries you have. Yeah. So this is very specific for people that really like this assessment, formal assessment tools. And also it has incredible amount of feedback for whether you get it right, whether you get it wrong, whether you get it partly right, and all that sort of things.
Sorry, another question. The time limit in the final, in the advanced tab, this is really interesting because the multiple choice doesn't have a time limit.
Yeah.
You can set time limit with this. But if the student starts the test and then logs out and logs in again, what happens to the time?
Is
it set or is it? Because we want a student to log into a sequence, do a test at agreed time, and it's say 1 hour long, and we don't want that student log out when he or she feels like it and log in again.
I think that the way that currently works is that it's on your seat. Like if you sit now, if you get 30 minutes, you get 30 minutes from the moment that you start the test. Yeah.
So you can log out, exit, and then log in again. You can carry on with that test. Or
I'm pretty sure that's the case.
That's not a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, shouldn't there be an option to?
I think so. This is a tool that we created for people to say, hey, what you need to build on top of that.
No, it's a great idea to have a time limit, but there should be an option. You're not allowed to log out. If you log out, the time just carries on. Because it's supposed to be a test.
Well, yeah, I guess you're right. So once you do it once, you can't do it again if the time has passed. Is that what you have?
No, what I'm trying to say is that there should be an option in the advanced tab to say, if you exit this test, you cannot continue.
All right.
Because they can exit and then cheat and then check something in the book, come back to the test.
The catch with that is that, what if your browser crashed?
Yeah, but hold on. Well, if the browser crashes, is everything saved?
Anyway, up to that point.
Up to that point, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, how do I know whether your computer crashed or you just close your browser and then want to do it again? All right, we can get into a specific later.
That's why I'm not using time limit in my test.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's probably...
Because I'm very worried that a student will log into the test and by accident, actually... That's another thing that occurred to me, that some students just get lost.
There's a feature on this one. Whenever you enable the time limit, it says, you're about to start this test. Are you sure? Because we're going to start counting from now. So you get, automatically you get the thing, the whole page is black and says, okay, are you sure you want to start? Because we're counting. And then you say yes, and then basically you start going. And if you sort of try to do something in the middle, what it actually tells you to do is okay, 30 seconds before it starts flashing, saying, okay, we got 30 seconds. And then when it gets to zero, it submits everything as it is.
Now you should be able to develop the possibility of going back into, for example, grouping after such an assessment. Because if you in the grouping activity makes, let's say, three or four routes or through a subject, you could actually foresee that if your assessment brings you up to a certain level, or repointed or rerouted back to the grouping activity to read the topics once more, for example, or an extended review of the topics. So you could go in a loop until you reach a certain target there.
Yeah, and you can, I'll show you how you can do that now. One of the things that we did in all these ones is that we keep expanding this FCK editor to include more features, right? And one of the things is that now you can upload all different types of videos and YouTube videos and all that sort of thing to make it a bit more sort of interactive. There's also this graphical tool that allows you just to draw stuff and that automatically adds that thing into your canvas. Yeah, so it actually automatically puts that thing there and all that. And another thing is also we created this plugin thing that would allow you to sort of record yourself directly into this thing. Yeah, so you can actually provide feedback or ask questions directly of your recording stuff. So you start recording and then you sort of stop it, and then that actually gets added automatically to your page. Yeah, and the idea is that your students. Now this is incredibly curious in the way that it works, because lots of teachers were actually asking for something like that. I want to record myself so I can tell the students what to do, and it's easy and simple for them to do stuff. When we provided this tool, they use it twice. And then, they don't like the way that they look, or I don't know exactly what, but they drop it and they start texting again, which is very... But, I mean, it's an option. For instance, you can add this as feedback, and you can tell them, okay, you almost got it. So it's very... you can put this thing everywhere. In terms of the advanced options, there's plenty of advanced options here, whether you want them to provide feedback according to the percentage of questions that they got right and all that sort of things, as well as, some whether you want to have the limit, as we discussed before, and probably we need to expand it a bit more, for sure. So the assessment tool, there's, in terms of the questions that you have there, the only one that is not self-marked is the essay tool. All the other ones, you can actually use keywords to actually do this, provide some sort of marking or something. Now, the other new tool is the one that actually James actually mentioned this morning, which is this Pixlr tool, which is this tool that allows you to do your students to modify things as they go along. So you actually upload a picture here, and then when the students actually get to this get to the activity, they can actually see the picture, edit it, and then once they finish editing, that comes back to LAMS. And they can all see each other's pictures, yeah? And then they can vote on different changes that they have done and all that sort of thing. So this is a Pixlr is an application that lives somewhere on the web, And what we have done is basically just create a wrapper to basically add all the sort of pedagogical aspects that the teacher might want to add to it. But it just lives on the web. The other one is this concept maps tool that basically allows the teacher to do, and this is quite interesting in the sense when you want to sort of get your students to brainstorm about stuff. So in here you can actually put whatever instructions, but then you sort of put some sort of main idea here, and then as a teacher you can actually create different sub ideas, and then you get the students to basically expand this tree. And this works in two ways. It works in a collaborative way, so you can actually say everyone shares the same tree and they can actually create, see each other's creations. Or you want each individual student to basically create their own tree. Another thing is there's on the creation of stop points, yeah. So the gates that we have, you can actually now create conditions. So for instance, you can actually specify that this would actually only open if some condition happens. So in this case, if for instance, if the student in the image gallery has uploaded how many images this person has uploaded. Yeah. So in this case, if we can actually say that if it has upgraded more than two, then we can actually link this condition to an open state. Yeah. So effectively, if the student actually has, otherwise it gets a stop and it says, oh, you need to go back and keep adding your stuff. Yeah. So in a way, this actually solves your loop issue. You can actually stop people and say, okay, look, you need to go back and do things that you haven't actually done. Another really sort of, so the video recording tool is what James showed this morning, and this allows the teacher to basically create some sort of forum discussion on video. So the teacher records the video, and he can actually get the students to actually reply to each other's messages, and also add comments and ratings on each other's pictures and videos and stuff like that.
Can you actually use a spreadsheet? I've tried to use a spreadsheet many times, and I don't think it's very
intuitive. I would
Sorry?
Say. It's not very intuitive.
It's really difficult to use.
It's very difficult. The reason that we created that particular one is because there was these guys in somewhere in Europe, I think it was Germany, where what they wanted to do is they wanted to use this particular type of spreadsheet, which is an open source version of Google Docs. And they sort of say, look, we wanted to use it. And I think they gave us some money to sort of put this thing within the thing. So I said, sure. And they would just bundle it within it. And the good thing about this spreadsheet thing is that when it works, I mean, you as a teacher can actually say, okay, this is a formula. And then you type the numbers and it will show you how this calculation works. Or you can tell the students, okay, here's a problem. Use the spreadsheet to solve it. So in that sense, it's quite, but it's nowhere close to like Google Docs or Google spreadsheets and stuff like that. Another powerful thing in LAMS that we just added as well is the idea that you can actually pass the stuff to Gradebook. Yeah. So any output that a tool produces, you can actually pass it to Gradebook. And this is basically, Ralph, what we're going to do to pass stuff directly into Moodle. But it also passes the stuff to LAMS. So now when you
have to pass it to Gradebook, is it automatically?
It does it automatically.
Yeah, okay.
But then you can also force certain things to be passed to the Gradebook if you want to. Like, for instance, on here, do we have any Gradebook? Okay, so now when you create a course, you can actually enable the gradebook function to that course. And if you do, every time you create a new sequence, you see the monitor stuff, and then you also see this mark stuff, yeah? And this mark button allows you to see sort of what the gradebook, in a way. And the gradebook is sort of simplified in... Okay, maybe we can... Okay, so... You have the people that I do. There's two views of the gradebook. First, you have the learner view, so you would actually see all the learners. And then, whenever you click on one, it would actually show you all the activities that they have done. Or
will the time taken appear? Is this just a test group? It doesn't appear.
Sorry, the time taken what?
Time taken. That doesn't appear. Does that mean they haven't?
Oh, no one actually has done this thing.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps I can actually find another one that has. Let's see. Let's see if I can log in with another. This server is very slow. Test. But effectively, what it shows you is that once you completed a sequence, so let's just add a quick new sequence. And now there's this thing that basically you're allowed to create sequences with just three clicks.
Okay. Since you're on that page, though, do you think the new method is very practical?
Well, people were saying, you know, the all wizard is too takes
too
long.
You have to put all the learners now individually to log them in as learners.
No, you can actually grab them all at one go.
You can how?
Yeah.
I didn't notice you could do that.
So, say for instance, I want to grab all these guys.
Oh, you just control.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
And then you just dump in them.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I was doing.
Yeah. So now, say for instance, now we're gonna log in as a student on this thing. Now, these guys would actually go through, and this presentation. As this person goes, I mean, you get the monitor interface to track where they go and all that. But in terms of the marking thing, you can actually see how long they have actually taken to do stuff. Yeah. So now you get that there's a cog there for test one, and it shows you so the activities that they're sort of doing. Yeah, and what's the activity that they're currently doing and which are the ones that they have completed and how long they have actually taken, and you know what's the sort of mark that they are allowed to get, to get here. And there's also, for instance, if the tool provides some sort of outputs, you can actually see what are the outputs that particular person has actually put in here. So in this case, it shows you that the number of images uploaded by this user is blah and all that.
Is that right click? How did you get that?
I'll just click here.
Oh, there, okay.
And you can also sort of provide, sort of there's another thing. And LAMS now actually supports competencies. So when you create a sequence, you can map competencies to activities. And then you can actually see all that into here. So effectively, when you are marking stuff, you want to see what is the competence that this guy is doing in this activity. And according to that, give them a mark, for instance.
It doesn't automatically give marks for contributions to forum discussion, does it?
Well, you have to set it up. If you want automatically to be added, whenever you author stuff...
Under forum advanced, no, under the fourth tab.
No. On the little... this is getting a little temperamental. Okay, so in here, when, say for instance, you want a forum to be put the information from a... this is another... Hold on, let me just reload this page. So when any output that an activity have, you can force it to be passed.
On the properties.
So in here, you can actually say,
yeah.
There's a gradebook output, so put that information directly into the gradebook. So automatically, when they finish, bang, that gets added to the...
It's actually not a very good idea to have a mark per forum discussion, because if you tell students that, then they're just going to put loads of stuff on the forum to get marks.
It's up to you. Like, look, I mean, it's a decision of the teacher at the end of the day. Yeah.
Who's understanding teachers?
So yeah, at the end of the day, that's basically what it comes down to. Here's a list of, like, I know that we need to sort of get going. So this is a list of all the features and also information and demos on how all of these things actually do work. So if there's more information, just can go to the wiki, and from there directly there's a link to the 2.3 sort of release, and it will show you sort of all the new features and demos and stuff like that. Yeah. So I'll suggest that, you know, and for instance, if you go sort of this assessment, it will show you everything that you can do with an assessment tool much more in detail than what I just said. Any questions?
Oh, well, we've asked a lot of questions. No, it's very impressive, the development. As I said, it makes it harder to support lectures that want to learn how to, it's more demotivating in a way. Like all the technological development demotivates. It's not everyone, but you know, some lecturers aren't using it at all, which is crazy.
Look, I mean, the good thing about upgrades is that you can upgrade if you want or not.
No, we upgrade, and I think the new features are really good, especially as I said, the support.
Let me show you something that's really cool. That of course that you don't like in particular, but then within sort of whenever you create a new lesson now, you can actually also allow sort of to see who's online.
Yeah,
and then also allow sort of when learners are doing a lesson, they can see. Oh, okay, I need to select it. They can. So if you allow these two options in here, what that means is that they will be able to see who is doing the sequence at the same time as them. So what that means in specific terms is this is not it.
Is there any way that antivirus programs can block instant messaging?
So here they can sort of chat to each other and they will be able to say, well, my chat server is not working, but effectively they can actually see who's online doing the sequence with them, as well as chat with each other.
Can some antivirus programs block instant messaging?
No, not here, because this instant message is running on the browser, it's not running as a...
It's strange, because it doesn't seem to work, the presence, very well on our system. I was trying to figure out what it was, but...
And, you know, this is sort of, regardless of where you are... Regardless on which activity you are, this actually stays there all the time.
Yeah. Do you see in the future there's some kind of Skype technology being incorporated into...
Well, if they come up with something that you can use directly from a browser, for sure.
I mean, not using Skype, because Skype has the disadvantage of having it all sort of strangers contacting you, but actually Skype technology within LAMS, that would be really cool.
To do what in particular?
For teachers to communicate with students in a controlled way, specific students, and also group discussions through Skype, some kind of conferencing facility, without having to use video conferencing, but...
There was something really cool that Skype had at one stage, and I wanted to do some sort of integration if we could.
That would be really... That's
but no, there was this thing, and they cancelled it. It was called Skype Casts. Yeah? And basically what it was is you would go to a website, and you say, okay, I want to start a Skype Cast, and that gives you a URL. Now, you go into your Skype, and a URL and a number, I can't remember. Uh-huh. But basically you paste that thing into Skype, and automatically you're in a group, talking to a bunch of people.
Yeah. And this could be kind of Skype tool within LAMS, not one of those plug-in Skype, but actually a Skype tool that's got advanced tab that you can actually control. That could deal with a lot of the problems of teacher-student communication.
You've seen the plugin that we use for...
use it, but the thing is it's, it's an external, you have to go outside LAMS.
Well, the thing is that, for that one, I'm looking for someone to create a really cool sort of Flash application that does that.
Yeah,
because it would be...
When's it coming? That's what we want.
I don't know. And it's something that I can tell you we're not going to do because we have no expertise in that area at all. But if someone has some... Like something like Vimdim, yeah? That lives externally, or like, you know, this Pixlr stuff and all that. There are a lot of tools that now are cropping up. And what I want to do is... I don't want to develop more tools. Yeah, I've got plenty of tools. And what I want to do is focus on sequencing stuff, doing more complicated sequencing and allow people to have more options in terms of that. But I don't want to create more tools because there's plenty of tools that if you can actually use them well, you can actually do pretty cool, interesting educational stuff.
Yeah, but I think a Skype-like tool would be, if it worked well, it would be really effective. It could replace maybe chats and forum discussion, and you could have a Skype discussion.
True. I mean, you can actually, if you want to do that, use the video recording tool. The video recording tool allows you to do just voice, if you want to. So you can actually record things, and they can actually just record like voice and stuff, and give it a go. See if that works. I mean, and the video recording tool is just nothing but a forum. Nothing but a forum. I mean, people can just reply on each other's comments,
it's
videos.
It's
and
asynchronous.
Yeah, it's asynchronous, yeah. It's not synchronous.
One question to the mind map. Is there any possibilities to add or increase the number of nodes? You have the main idea,
I didn't check the number of nodes.
And you can have only one node on each side of the main topic if you go into the mind map. But there is but you can add text and explanations around those nodes. But can you expand on the number of nodes, or how can you expand it?
Yeah, of course. I mean, let me see.
You add to them, but going up is quite difficult. I noticed.
I have only been.
Let me show you sort of what...
Able to add the two nodes, actually.
No. I mean, you can add as many as you like. Look, where's the mind map stuff? Yeah.
There we have it, if you open it.
All right, so there's two here.
Here we have only two sub-ideas, but can you have more sub-ideas? That is the main...
Yeah, you can go here and do.
No. You get the text for the sub-idea, but not sub-idea to a sub-idea. Because my idea was to have more sub-ideas and text. And then you call it a sub-idea. But you cannot add a text to a sub-idea, then you have to do it in like that.
I'm not so sure exactly what you mean.
No, I thought now you have two basically sub-ideas. And to those sub-ideas you can connect text boxes. But
yeah.
I thought, okay, maybe you could expand the sub-ideas with more sub-ideas and add text boxes to them as well. But I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
You can move chat around as well and do...
Oh, you can actually move...
Yeah.
And use the text boxes and then just rename the text boxes.
Oh, okay. I haven't used this tool that much, but...
Yeah. I'll see what you're
doing. He's very good at it.
There's also the zoom control thingy. If you if it gets a bit out of control, you can always sort of minimize it and expand it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You can also grab stuff and move things around.
Yeah.
That's sort of handy. It's a
shame there aren't instructions to explain those functions for students.
Look, the Flash guy that actually created this, he was asked, okay, can we have the bubbly things that pop up? And he said, look, it's good. But once you figure out how to do it once, you don't want to see that ever again because it gets a bit too much in your face. So once you see that there's a control for doing zooming, once you have it there once, that's all you need. So and if you see it every time sort of you do something, it gets incredibly annoying. So one of the things that we're now doing in LAMPS is that we're going to have these things that whenever you come into LAMPS first, it would actually show you okay, so here, you want to have a 30 seconds explanation of how this works. And then you can actually say, okay, cool. And then it plays some sort of video stuff, yeah? And then after that, you can say, okay, that's it. Close, and I don't want to see this again. So that is, and you know, there's LAMPS is specifically a system that does, that you just need to know the basics. Yeah, once you know the basics, you understand it. But if you have never seen sort of like a system like this, it would actually take you a while. You wouldn't be able. Okay, guys, we need to get going. Thanks very much.